hear from the evangelist. Amen. Earlier we heard from the prophet. Now you're going to hear a shepherd. Yeah. We're starting to see. We're starting to see some things come together. Danny could not have known. I haven't spoken to Danny all week. He just said he had a word. Danny could not have known what I'm going to share this morning. No way. James had no way of knowing what I'm going to share. But I'm so excited to give it to you. You know, I'm coming up on 7 years here in Rochester, 7 years here at this church. And it's time. It's time. It's moving up day. It's actually moving up day for us. And I was thinking about, you know, as a preacher, I'm thinking about all these illustrations, you know, just how to depict this. And so I was thinking about the extra bed that we got. It came in a nice little box, and it's a blow-up bed. Follow me. This is going somewhere, honest. Doesn't sound very spiritual, but it is. And so, you know, I got it out. It was all wrapped neatly, you know, and I pulled it out, and I unwrapped it. And I laid it out, and it's one of those ones where you plug it in, turn on a switch, and it blows itself up. Thank God. Boy, the old ones, you really need it's a breath, you know, blowing that thing up or little pump or whatever. So it's all self-contained, and, you know, blew it up, and we had the grandkids up, and they had a great time. And so I said, well, put it away, and I want to put it in this nice box. And so got it all, you know, let the air out, let it lay there for a while, and folded it up. I could not get it back in that box. And, you know, the box looks nice, but it's somewhere in a dump somewhere because I threw it in the garbage. See, we're never going to be the people that we were. God has changed our DNA. Once we came out of the box of sin, we're never going to be able to fit back into that. See? Never. God has made us sons. And I want to pause this morning. I apologize for not going on to Ephesians chapter 2. I just couldn't do it. I wanted to talk with you about inheritance this morning and who we are in Him. Things that we may already know. But listen, I may say some things this morning that make you angry. That's okay. That's all right. But one of the things I want to say is we've got to get away from the cross. Got to get away from the cross. Thank God for the cross. But when Christ rose from the dead, I never heard Him say, tell all my disciples to meet me at Golgotha. Tell my disciples, go tell them, meet me where I died, because that's where it's at. Where He told them to meet Him? Galilee, at the mount. Some say at the same mount where the transfiguration took place. The cross is a wonderful thing. I'm glad that I came through the cross, but now I'm a son. Listening to Dr. Ben Carson. How many know who he is? Ben Carson for president 2024. I'll be the first to say it. He's a man of God. And he was talking about the African Americans, the black people in America, and how the Democratic Party has kept them down. And he said there were black people that were yard people, there were black people that were servants in the house, there were black people that were field people, and they were all fighting each other. We're no longer a servant in that sense. We serve one another. Hear what I'm saying. We're no longer slaves. God has made us sons. And when I say sons, I'm saying sons and daughters. So don't think that I'm being at all. We are all called to be sons of God just like Jesus. When Jesus came, He was called the Son of God for a reason. God set this whole thing up. He didn't come as a servant. He didn't come as an administrator. He didn't come as a representative. When God announced Him, He said, He could have said, this is my representative, hear Him. No, what did He say? This is my Son. John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him should not die but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Scripture goes on to say that He was the firstborn among many sons. And so God has delivered us. Thank God for the cross. But God has welcomed us into His home, into His house. We're sons of the house. And we move as sons and daughters of the house. We move in that authority. We don't make excuses. Our future is not based on our works. When you go and servants aren't doing their job, what do? You fire them and get some more. God's not going to ever leave us or forsake us. We've moved far beyond the cross mentality. Come on. The emerging apostolic church is bringing back the truth of sonship. The fivefold ministry, what we just had demonstrated this morning. We all have different ways of looking at things, but it's all the same message. Danny's word to us this morning, the word of God was, 2020 is going to be the best year, but we don't need to wait. It's going to happen now. See? We receive God's promises now. James says, what we have within us, go and do something with it. Now, if you had that kind of message week after week after week, how many know? We'd say, James, kind of cool it down a little bit. But it's the truth. The whole of God's purpose is to bring about a family. The family is one that will move in authority and dominion because of who we are, not what we can do. Many Christians, maybe you have a relationship with God as His servant. You've never experienced going beyond the cross to the house. God loves you. You're welcome there. You have all the dominion and authority and power available to you. Been here in this area long enough to know that we're so weak in areas because we've not allowed the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. We, like others, have said the anointing is on this person or this couple of people or elders or something. I understand that there's a leadership that's needed, but the whole of the body of Christ, if you're saved today, you're a son and daughter of God. You have all the rights and privileges of a son and daughter of God. And immediately when you begin to move in that authority and that understanding as a son of God, things change. You don't have to pray for a revival anymore. Revival happens. First in your life, then in your home, then in your job, your community, and it just spreads. And the enemy knows that and he's held us back, has God really said. We're all at the cross. Even most of the songs that are coming out today from the large amount of the body of Christ is we feel bad, we feel terrible. Please make us feel good again. And God says, I've given you everything that you've got. Don't stand outside. Don't live in the servants' quarters. It's time for you to get evicted from there and come home. When the prodigal came back, what did the father say? I have a room in the servants' quarters. You go there and we'll check it out in a few days if you're for real, because you may be just here for more money. What did he say? He said, this is my son who was dead and now is alive. Yeah. See, we were dead in our sin and our trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy, the scripture says, has given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. He's given us a new life. Our DNA has changed. We're not the same person. But the enemy fights us into thinking that we're the same person. Just saved. Our direction has changed. We were going to hell, now we're going to heaven. But we're the same mess. No, God said, I can't take that person to heaven. I got to kill him. I've given you a new life and I've welcomed you into my home. With me in my home. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not a son with a bunch of servants. A son with a bunch of brothers and sisters. Sonship then gives us the right that heirs have. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, according to Romans 8:17. This cannot be emphasized enough. It will transfer us from the servant's quarters to the Father's throne. Thank God. And you say, well, it says to pick up your cross. That's self. Dying to self is the cross, not the cross that we died at. We died with Christ. Thank God for the cross. But if we hang around there and get that mentality, we get what we got, a bunch of religious nonsense. We're not making any forward motion. We're not building any kingdom. Come on, somebody. God gives us everything that we need. We've got blocks laying over here and cement there and wood there and electric wiring here, and it's all in the same property, but it's not going anywhere. It's not building anything, see? But when we know who we are in Christ, things come together. You watch how accelerated it happens when the light finally comes on. And it's been stolen from us by the cheap religious mumbo-jumbo that we've had to live with. It's junk. It's garbage. I don't care if you get angry. It's a bunch of problem that we've listened to. God wants us to come to the revelation of sonship. Danny couldn't have known some of the scriptures that I'll share today. Romans 12:10. Be kindly, affectionate one to one another, with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, or by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Come on, somebody. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, we have fellowship with God because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did or didn't do. Jesus took care of all that. And He came to make us sons and daughters. We're free. Paul was so free, he said that those that wanted to come in and spy on my liberty, I didn't even give them an hour. We're free. We have liberty. We have authority. We have dominion. But we walk around making excuses. Turn with me to John 17. Need to mark this. Need to mark this. John 17. There's something happening within the body of Christ. I thought I was on kind of the cutting edge of it. I'll tell you, I've just been reading and praying and crying out to God. And I thought, God, I'm on to something. And some of the stuff I'm reading is 20 years old. I said, I'm behind eight ball. I need to catch up. And if I'm that way, I have a feeling that you're that way. See, we've tried this thing for so long. It's almost like, you know, I had a family when I was in New York. I had a family that had a loved one that was hooked to machines. And we had prayed and we had prayed and we had prayed. And she wasn't gonna make it. And I know that all the faith stuff, you just go in and lay hands on her. It was time. It's time for her to go home. Come on, somebody. Are you there? But the family would go in and sit. It was almost like a shrine. Go in and sit. She had no idea they were there. She was hooked up with this stuff for week upon week upon week. And finally, they came to an agreement. It was time for her to go. It was time for her to go 6 or 8 weeks before they thought it was time for her to go. So we were in the room, and they unhooked her, and she lived about 5 minutes after that. And she was in the Savior's arms. Come on, somebody. We've taken the church the way it was. It's on life support. And it's like a shrine. We keep trying to go do the same thing and get different results. We should have let it die a long time ago. The model has been wrong. We've done church for years and years and years in America, and it's no wonder that this generation has walked away and said, I don't see anything that looks like a kingdom to me. Because we want to move in the same way. We want to feel guilty and have our week of revival every year and that kind of nonsense. Come on, somebody. Take dominion. take authority. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the enemy running things. Tired of being on the defense. Go to the offense. Take the offensive position as a son of God. As a son of God. John chapter 17. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect, listen, perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me. I want to know, was there any weakness in the way that God loved his son? Was there any weakness in the way the son loves his father? There's no weakness in us. You better believe that prayer is fulfilled through the Holy Spirit. We are one with God just like he is one with his son. Because we are sons. We're sons of God. We have every right and privilege. We don't have to beg. God, please. Of course you can. Of course you have need of this. It's here. You're my son. You're my daughter. Just ask. Whatever you ask, because you're my son, I will give you. Come on, somebody. It changes the whole perspective. We've been coming from this side of the cross. Say, oh, I'm sinful. I don't deserve it, but God give me. And God says, I've taken care of all that. Put the cross behind you. Come to the house and take what you need. Not one person was called to go back to Golgotha. I can't find it in Scripture. Of all the visions that happened in Revelation, not one was at Golgotha. It's a place of death. Who wants to hang around a place of death? It's life that God's given us. And when we relate to one another as being sons and daughters, our gifts begin to show. See, all the jealousy that Danny talked about. We get jealous of one another when somebody's moving different than we are. We want to be like them. No, just be yourself. Yes. See, relational maturity is spiritual maturity. We rejoice in the evangelist. Amen. He comes in. But we need to hear that. Come on, somebody. And then the prophet comes and says, this is the way God's moving us. This is what's happening. And we get a vision that we have to get. See, God prunes before he grows. See, Ephesians points us to a revelation of our relationship to the Godhead. Just like a will and testament, it names us as heirs. We are heirs, just like a will and testament read after somebody's died. But our testator did not stay dead, Hebrews says. So we're back in Ephesians 1:11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Say, have obtained. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Obtained an inheritance because it's his will that we do. Verse 14 says, he is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In other words, he's deposited himself in us that we could get the work done. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding, Paul prays, being enlightened that you may know, yada, know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. Let the word of God hit you in that new DNA that you. Don't think in the old, move in the new. Let me read it again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, How long does that take? That long. That long. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, or the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You are all that God expected you to be. He deposited in you. All you got to do is let it out. Let God use you. You say, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. That's works. It goes from, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. Because he loved me, and he changed me, and he gave me a new life, and I want to tell everybody about it. See? Difference. Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So there's no difference. God has enraptured us in his love, filled us with his spirit, taken care of all our sin so that we can be his glory. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Verse 7 says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we're no longer slaves. We're no longer talking about death. Death happened in the past. I'm not dead. I'm alive in Christ. See, I don't have to go back to the cross. I don't need to go visit Golgotha. God says, you want to talk to me? See me at the cross. No, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come to the throne. God will forgive your sin. It's open. It's for us. Man, if we ever got a hold of what God has intended for us, that's why I like 2020, 2020 vision. Restore the vision to the church. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God's promise all along was to make a family. And he has. His promise from the very beginning. This is my beloved administrator in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved servant in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. This is my beloved representative. Oh, he said, this is my beloved son. My only begotten son. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said to the women at the grave, said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I go to my God and their God. No, he didn't say that. He said, you tell Peter and the disciples, I go to my Father and their Father. Come on, somebody. We've had such a mess. When this revelation came to me, I had to rethink it because I had a dad in name only. Had a dad in name only. He didn't know how to be a dad. He was functionally a dad, but he was absent most of the time. I had no idea what a father was supposed to be until I came to God. Amen. Come on, somebody. So we are heirs. Number one, if you're following your notes, number one, I finally got there. We are heirs. Ephesians 1:11 says that he's predestined us according to his purpose. We're sons of the living God. We are heirs according to the promise. Joint heirs with all rights and privileges. Not just in name, but in reality. A benefit that we are to employ. As sons, we move as sons of the living God. Son would never put up with what the church has put up with in America. We put up with this nonsense way too long. Because the enemy has fooled us into believing we're still servants out in the field trying to prove something so we can be welcomed at the house. We got nothing to prove. Jesus already proved it. Got nothing to win. Jesus already won it. And he says, I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed on me a kingdom. Jesus' demeanor, his speech, his actions, the whole time he was here, in his 3.5 years of ministry, never apologized or announced himself as being anyone but who he was. But religion has invaded relationship to the point where the body of Christ is apologizing, not knowing who we are. There's a major, the first message I spoke when I came here was entitled Identity Crisis. We don't know who we are in Christ. That couldn't have been any more prophetic, because that's where the body of Christ is right now. We're trying to identify who we are. And God says, I've made you to be. It hasn't changed. It's not a surprise to me that 2020 is coming up. I made you to be sons and daughters of mine. It's relational. We need to know each other after the Spirit, that we are all sons of God. New Life is being asked to make this move from servant to son mentality. And it's going to get very uncomfortable if you're not willing to make the move with us. We're going from slave to son mentality. That means that we're looking for you to cultivate your gifts, begin to use your gifts. We welcome them. You see things differently than me. I need to hear what you're hearing in Christ. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, he must be talking to somebody else. Because once we know each other after the Spirit, we can accept the God in us. See, if I'm looking at you after the flesh, well, what do I want to listen to you for? I know who you are. See, but God chose to speak through us. Come on, somebody. I'll never be the same. I'm not going back. God is changing my ministry even as I speak. And I'm moving forward with it, see. And I want you guys to move with me. Be who God called you to be. I want to encourage you to believe with me what God is doing in you, what He's done in you. He's awakening us. This is the awakening time in the body of Christ. What Danny said about other fellowships saying this, I have no doubt that this message is going out throughout the church. Those that love Him and fear Him and follow Him. What that will do is to bring the corporate man into a fresh level of maturity. One that will welcome reproduction, not be threatened by it. When you get a husband and wife that love one another and respect one another, kids come. You don't have to teach them to have children. They'll have children. Turn to somebody and say, I know what he's talking about. Come on, someone. When you know who you are in Christ, it will reproduce, because that's what God planned, reproduction. Right. Yes, Danny.
Well, that's the reason the enemy is hitting the family so hard and all this crazy, stupid gender stuff. Yeah. He's trying to put a stop to that. Yeah. Because family is where it is and relationship is where it is.
That's right.
Amen.
And that's we've exactly allowed right. it. Like James said, we got to stop it.
So when I talk about, you're going to hear the word apostolic a lot in the next weeks and months coming. And I want you to do your own study. 20 years ago, I'd ask you to go get a Strong's Concordance and get your prayer closet. You can do that, but you can also just hit search. Find out what the apostolic is about. Basically, in a nutshell, it's fivefold ministry welcoming and embracing fivefold ministry in our midst. And each one of us will gravitate towards those places that God can grow the church as he has always planned. Three alignments. Number one, alignment with God, knowing who he is. Maybe it'll take a fresh perspective on your part. You just get in your prayer closet and let God speak to you. If he already has been and you're moving in that, announce it to yourself. Get yourself excited about the day that we live in. This is it. This is the push towards the greatest harvest the world has ever seen and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is it. This is what God shaped and formed us for. Nobody else could do what we can do. If they could, they'd already been here. We'd be in glory. But we're here. Come on, somebody. And this younger generation needs gray heads, man. This apostolic explosion that's happening, one of the downsides of that is everybody's an apostle and a prophet. Kids, 25 years old, calling themselves apostles. I said, man, grow up a little bit. But the fivefold ministry is coming alive. It's what's happening right now. It's God reversing all of the nonsense that we had. We've run pastoral, run model churches where one guy tries to do everything. Pastor, go evangelize. Pastor, go to the hospital. Pastor, go do this. Pastor, go do that. And God says, man, I put people in the midst to be able to do all that. You stay in your lane. Alignment with God, knowing who he is. Secondly, alignment with ourselves, knowing who we are. What has God designed me to do? My giftings and my callings lie in this area. That's what I'm going to do. God will supply for the others. And then thirdly, alignment with others, knowing each other after the Spirit. You know what that leads us to? A guaranteed outcome. A guaranteed outcome. It is not in our effort. In fact, it's just the opposite. We are sons because of what he did. The prodigal had wasted his inheritance and refused his name. When he came back to God, when he came back to the Father said, you're alive, here's the robe, here's the thing, get the job done. That son never missed a beat, went right back to representing his father. Not in the slave quarters. We know him as Savior and Son. He was our propitiation. And he himself, 1 John 2:2, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And then we know him as a son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he's made us to be sons and daughters. He's called the apostle of our confession. Look what it says in Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. He could have never been a high priest without being a son. Could have never been the high priest of our faith before he was a son. People say, well, the son's benevolent, merciful, and loving. God is distant. He's judgmental. He's got the whip and chain. But how many know that Jesus and the Father are one? Amen. Jesus showed us the Father. And matter of fact, he turned to his disciples and said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. The Father's benevolent and kind and merciful and loving. And he's called us to be kind and benevolent and loving. As sons, we represent who? We represent the Father. He could have never been the apostle, one who is sent. He was sent to redeem the world if he wasn't a son and a high priest. Selah. Those need to be reflected in what the church involves herself in. We need to move as sons and daughters of God. Now, I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to read these verses without comment. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you. I want you to, it's quarter after 12. Thanksgiving's not till Thursday. Okay? I want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. These verses. I want you to just, I'm going to say the verse. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Change only needs to be a light switch away. Listen to what it says. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I bestow on you a kingdom, Luke 22:29, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? Listen, my beloved brothers, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? Holy Father, I pray that You would open up in our hearts this revelation. God, that we would no longer seek Golgotha, but seek Your throne. Yes, picking up our cross and dying to our flesh. Yes, all of that. But Lord, we are welcome at Your throne. And at Your throne, there is business taking place. God, You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. We're not just taking up space. Or Your children, sons and daughters of the living God. Thank You, Jesus. What's the difference between a servant and a son? Should be obvious, but maybe you're seeing something that I don't. What's the difference between a servant and a son?
A servant does the work because he has to. Son does the work because he loves.
A servant earns it and a son's been given it. Yeah.
Do you hear that? A servant earns his pay, son's been given the kingdom, the whole thing.
Yes.
Son gets everything the father has.
Oh, wow.
Inheritance.
A son gets everything the father has.
The son is blood to the father.
Son is blood to the father.
The son becomes like the father and not like he used to be.
Or the son inherits what's the father's.
Yeah. Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff.
This could be your moving up day if you haven't already. This could be moving up day. Things will change forever. Yes.
I had a dream this morning, and Ben Danny was in the car in Kokomo driving down the street, and the light turned red, and Danny said, "Just go through it.
Get a head start."
Yeah. Yeah.
This prophetic thing, isn't it just? How many of you remember Danny talking about the light coming on?
Yeah.
The red light coming on.
Yeah. Four.
Yeah. Four.
Tell me God's not in this today. Come on.
Yeah. Two words was given a while back, a few weeks ago. I talked about being tenacious, and our sister Patty talked about being expecting. And we've got to be expecting this and excited for it. And then we got to be tenacious after.
Yeah.
God's putting it together.
Yeah. I encourage you, we don't really have time. Let's truncate a little bit. I encourage you to go through these questions, talk to each other. Study it yourself. Define what's happening. So exciting about what God is doing. I'll tell you what, I've been serving the Lord now 38 years. I've never had such a cleansing time in front of God without any guilt. Because, can I just say this? It has been so much pressure from the religious world to fit back in that box. Now, if you know anything about me, I did not just try to get that bed back in the box. I worked at it.
I folded that thing 9 times to get it to fit in that beautiful box.
Yeah.
Came in a beautiful box. That's where it's supposed to go. Terry said, "Just give up." He said, "No, I'll get it. You just go do something. I'll get it." We've been out the box.
Amen.
We're no longer that old person. God has given us a DNA that's Him. He's our Father now. We have His DNA. We look and walk and talk like Him. We're not going to fit into the world. We've been trying to fit our relationship into the world system. It's never going to work. We came out of the world in a nice, neat box, but we can't get back there. And that's the fault, if I could say the fault of religion, has been trying to fit the truths of the new man into the box of the old way. Not going to work. So we're on the offense now, moving forward, yes.
I wanted to say something. I really felt like the Lord was telling me when I was up there praising the Lord to ask everybody. I mean, I remember there's so many people here that, you know, we've been going to this church since 1998, and I'm telling you, there was so much power at the altar, I guess I was just like really want everybody to come to the altar because there's so much power that we bring to the altar, and we meet the Lord there, and it was just, I don't know, I just remember those days and look forward to the days ahead, like we're all talking about, of the power that Jesus is bringing in and through us to go to the world.
Amen.
There's a special anointing there.
Amen. I have seen him to listen. So when we were marrying, this is what God does when we are faithful and we get out there and love on the people. I was in the baptismal truck, you know, and the snow was coming down. It was crappy weather, and there was a bunch of homeless, so I go to this gas station, and this guy's standing right here, and God just highlighted this guy, you know. So I started talking to him, And before you know it, I take him out to the truck, show him, because that's like the way to get people to check it out, you know, share the gospel. But it was so much more than that. So we share the gospel, and I'm thinking, this guy, he's ready to go. No, I hate God. God took away my mom. He did this. He did this. He did, so I don't want to hear anything about it, you know. I said, okay. I could have let it alone, you know. I said, you know what? Why don't you come back to the church with us and let us feed you, you know. And so took him and another guy. And the whole time, you know, I'm sitting there trying, what do I say, Lord? What do I say? I mean, how do you talk to a person that hates God? You know, I mean, I had this question a while ago. What happens if somebody says that? You know, you love them. You love them right where they are. You know, you don't focus on them hating God. You focus on them being Christ for them, right? So we got into the church and everything, and there was amazing, amazing worship, you know. Well, God showed up at night. So we had like this glass window, and so the worship's in here. So me and this Stephen, we're sitting right here, you know, and I just see him looking back. And you could still hear the music, you know, and everything. He just kept looking, just looking. I said, what's going on, bro? He's like, man, I so want to know what God is like again. Because he had the relationship with him, but God took his mom, whatever, you know, all this stuff. And so I just started talking to him. I started praying with him, man, and he just started tearing up, man. Just boom, and he just, tears just started flowing. You know, I said, what are you feeling, man? He's like, man, I want that. I just don't know how to get it, you know? And I said, man, all you got to do is ask. You know, there is absolutely no coincidence that you were up right there and God highlighted you, you know, and everything. So he's like, you know what? He's like, I just want to go. He's like, I just want to go up there. I said, I'll go with you. So we went in there, and man, God showed up. There was probably 95% of the people that were on their faces. Wasn't honey. The worship team, everybody, there was silence. Wow. You know, we finally get up, and he's like, I'm going to go up front. And this is the guy that hates God. He doesn't want to hear anything about church or anything like that, right? So I go up there with him, and man, God just rocked this dude, man. I mean, whatever he went through, whatever God, he feels that God took from him, whatever, he restored that right there at the altar, like you were saying. You
know? Hallelujah.
So I'm up there for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes with this guy, you know, I was just amazed, you know, what God was doing. And it wasn't because of James. God did it, yeah. You know. But being faithful, you know, we took him there, you know. Yeah. And that's what we should do. But how many people would have given that guy the opportunity? Well, I hate God. Well, sorry about your luck, you know. But no, you don't. You go one step further, because Christ would have done the same thing for us. So we got him.
Amen.
We got him in there, you know. Who would have thought that was ever going to happen? I never would have, man. So I look to my left, and here's the guy, the other guy that we brought in the truck. So both of them, you know, God rocked their world. And these are homeless. You know, I was telling Brandon the other day that a lot of times, you know, homeless, they just want some food, and they want to use you. The next day they showed up.
Whoa.
The next day they showed up, you know. They didn't have to, but they felt there's something in there. You know, God showed up in their lives. So that's what we need to realize. Listen, hear the story, you guys. Think of every person out there as a Stephen. A while ago, God showed me one piece of corn. That one piece of corn was a family in Minnesota, wherever we were at. I don't remember where we were at. But just remember that. Every person out there is a Stephen. Every person out there is that piece of corn out there is a whole family. And God put us in that position right there, in that specific time, that place, to love on them. Every single one of us has something that we can give. And you know what? It's love and unity.
Amen.
And it's not fair for us to keep that in. And it's not fair for us, well, you know what? I'm sorry you hate God. You know what? Jesus loves you. Where's that? If I would have said, you know, Jesus loves you, where would he have been? But no, you take it one step further and you love them, you feed them, whatever you got to do. Because that's exactly what Christ did for us. So I just want to share that story with you. That man got rocked. Both of those guys got
Hallelujah.
Rocked.
Hallelujah. Glory. Right?
And that's what he wants
glory,
to do with every single one
glory.
Of us. Light that fire. That's lighting that
yeah.
fire.
Yeah.
That guy will never, ever, ever be the same again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not because of James, but because God rocks his world.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Well, that's right. The kingdom of God is power.
Yeah.
If we don't show power, they won't see the kingdom.
Yes.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to say about that. It was unity. That's what I just kept remembering. The unity of, you know, we're all in one accord.
Unity,
you know, worshiping
love,
the Lord. It was just,
die for them.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so thankful for all of y'all. Love you so much. And have a great Thanksgiving.